In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was just preparing something for the gospel of tonight. However, as I was absent for 4 weeks, I don't know whether you have any question, because as of next week, God willing, we will have a topic for the 7 weeks or the 7 Saturdays of the Great Lent under a title of Our Christ Above Time. Our Christ Above Time. In Arabic, Masihuna Fawqa Zaman. Our Christ is above time. Time here doesn't mean time, but at a time. The ages, all over the ages. It's a very interesting study written by his late Bishop Ioannis, the Metropolitan of Gharbiya. He departed years ago. But this book is very, very deep one, and it will be ecclesiastical biblical, which I like very much. It's very important to know that our doctrine in the church and our teaching in the church depend on these two main needs to us, which is the Bible and the church. And there is no separation between the ecclesiastical life and the biblical life. Biblical life is the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, his preaching, his teaching, his miracles, his works, his commandments, focusing on his salvation. Ecclesiastical means to live the Bible practically. Because when we understand the Bible, it's not enough. When we memorize the Bible, it's not enough. When we become scholars in teaching the Bible, even if it is not enough. But as we always say, we do need to live the Bible. And to live the Bible is the life of the church. That's why there is no separation or teaching between the Bible and the practical life, which is how to express our faith in God, which is written or left to us in the Bible. You understand, of course, yeah. Right? So that's why always we cannot separate between the church life and the Bible whatsoever. We use the Bible in all our church services, all of them. And also we do put all the Bible in our services. We cannot pray separate from the Bible, as if we speak to the Lord from his words. And this is the philosophy of the Agbaya, for example, or the liturgy. All the texts that we use in our prayers are taken mainly from the Bible, either literally, word by word, or meditating on the verses of the Bible. Either or means that we take it from the Bible directly. So, do you have any question? You have? Good, Paul. It may be the opening of discussion. Who knows? We may touch also the gospel of tonight. Yes, what's your question? Nothing.
Hebrews chapter.
Which book?
Book of Hebrews.
Hebrews. Just a minute. Hebrews 11.
Verse 27. On there it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So I thought Moses left Egypt because he killed the Egyptian, and he thought he was afraid of King Ud to punish him.
Yeah.
But on here it says he didn't flee Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king.
He said here, by faith he forsook Egypt. When he says he forsook Egypt and didn't say he escaped from Egypt, it means that he denied the glory of the pharaohs, and he refused to be an heir of the pharaoh or to be one day pharaoh. It's not very clear in Arabic. ما بيقول له أنا هقول حاضر هترجم. بيقول إيه؟ بيقول عبرانيين 11:27 بيقول إيه عن موسى النبي؟ بالإيمان ترك مصر غير خائف من غضب الملك. فهنا ترك يعني هو بإرادته مش 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 مرعوب من الملك، لا ده بالعكس، ده هو ما خافش ان الملك يغضب، ان هو despised احتقر الملك بتاع الفراعنه واحتقر المركز بتاع مصر واحتقر الكلام ده كله وساب مصر بالامجاد بتاعتها. forsook here, forsaken means that he refused the glory of Egypt, he refused to be an heir of the pharaoh. He took it from the spiritual side, not from the literal one, as if he was afraid of the punishment of the Pharaoh, as he knew that he killed the Egyptian one day. So here he said by faith. When he says by faith, he puts in his mind, and this is the witness of the Holy Spirit, not Saint Paul. Here is the witness of the Holy Spirit. He said to himself, "Oh, what's for me to have the glory of this world? Let me leave that." He was not just afraid of Pharaoh, but he also felt that he failed to help the Hebrews, to help his people. When the Hebrew fellow said, "Oh, you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" So he said to himself, "I'm not able to help the Hebrews, and also I'll be in difficulty in." Will be in bad situation if I stay more in Egypt. I will not be helpful to the Egyptians, and I am not able to help the Hebrews." That's why he left. He did not escape here by faith. Literally, he escaped from the wrath of the king, but by faith, he preferred to deny the glory of this world and preferred to be in the desert, in the wilderness alone. And he went to the desert not knowing what would happen to him. But you know that the Almighty God organized everything for him, and he made from him in 40 years, in 40 years, he made for him a savior. He changed him from being a fanatic, soft with the Hebrews, stiff with the Egyptians, to a savior to his people without hatred, even to the Egyptians or Pharaoh. That's why when you read it, insist on the word by faith. By faith he is speaking about the matter of faith, not the event itself which happened a days before. Now, لا هو لا بس هو بيتكلم هنا ليه هو راح ساب مصر يعني ما في ما هي دي لا هي دي وانس هو ما راحش مرتين ما سابش مصر مرتين مرة ما هي دي لا ده سيبان ومصر ده بعد ده خروج 14 و15 لا ده هنا لا ده هو بيتكلم ليه هو ساب مصر خدي بالك ليه هو ساب مصر لأنه بالإيمان بيقول إيه تشدد كأنه يرى من لا يرى لا دي جاهل باسوفر بعدها يعني 28 بيتكلم عن الباسوفر ازاي موسى كان عنده ايمان يا نهار ابيض ده موسى عايز ده بالعكس ده هو yeah this is another question. She asks, how can we say that Moses had faith while he was in Pharaoh's palace? No, he had. We insist on that. He had a great faith. And this faith, if he did not have faith in God, in this meaning, then we can say that Moses lived as a typical Egyptian. Without noticing or that looking at the Hebrews whatsoever. But no, his love to God was implanted in his heart from his mother during the nursing time. You know that his sister Miriam, when she found the daughter of Pharaoh, going to adopt this child, her brother, and she was asking herself, how can we find someone to nourish this baby? She hurried to the woman and said to her, the queen, Mathalan, or princess, I know someone. So the mother of Moses nourished him, gave him milk, but not only milk of her breasts, but the milk of faith. That's why we always say the first few years in the life of the child are the most important years in his life. Whatever you want to form him, you can do it during the first years of his life. When he went to the palace, yes, he lived typical Egyptian, but in his heart, he was typical Hebrew. He did not deny the Lord. Otherwise, how did he kill the Egyptian? And on the next day, he tried to reconcile to the Hebrews. It means that he knew God very much. So, also, he is speaking about the knowledge of Moses to God. هو ممكن تكون انه هو هرب من الشر مش خوف من الـ من الـ من فرعون لكن هرب من الشر يا طبعا يعني انا في نقطه ثانيه كمان there is another point he was the adopted son of the princess even if he stayed in the palace I don't think that the pharaoh would have punished him severely because of that he was considered as a member of the empire palace. So I think that it was يعني ما كانتش هتبقى big deal. Yes, yes. Or if he wasn't chosen as Pharaoh, at least this event could pass يعني safely. But he found it sign to leave the palace of the Pharaoh and free himself. And this was the first point. No, I mean here the rest of the verse is very important. He said, for he endured as seeing him with capital H. Him here with capital H. He was seeing God who is invisible. He endured to see God, the invisible, who no one can see him, but Moses saw him. When he saw God, he preferred not to live anymore in the false god, Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh was considered God and the Egyptians worshipped the Pharaohs.
He didn't see him on the burning bush,
no? He said here, he did not say he saw him. He said he endured as seeing, as if he saw him. Enduring here does not mean that he saw him at that moment, but by faith he endured to see him. That's why the Lord manifested himself to him in 40 years, when he was 80 years old. Yeah, Moses was 80 years old when he started his mission to free the Israelites. Right? Any other question in this theme or any other? Let us meditate on the first verse of the gospel of tonight. يعني نتأمل في الآية أول آية في إنجيل عشية النهاردة. يعني إنجيل العشية ده يعني the gospel of the Vespers tonight starts with the verse 39 from the gospel of St. John, chapter 5. You know what happened in the beginning of this chapter? Do you know what happened? In the beginning of chapter 5, the Lord healed the man of Beit Hasda, who was paralytic for 38 years at the pool of Beit Hasda. But the Lord healed him on the Sabbath. That's why the Jews argued against him and said he is the breaker of the Sabbath, not looking at the great miracle that the Lord performed when he healed this man. So the Lord said to him, to them, you now deny that I am Jesus. You don't accept me as the Messiah, considering me the breaker of the Sabbath. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. What the meaning of this verse? We want to discuss it. It's not very clear, Yani, but need explanation. بتقول لهم بيقول لهم ايه فتش الكتب لانكم تظنون ان لكم فيها حياه ابديه ها البوكس هي اللي مش في التوب ده بدي كماله الحديث بقى بنحط دي هم حاطينها تحت علشان to encourage the people to read معلش معايا to encourage the people to read according to what will reach today tonight يعني what the meaning of that yes يا فابلي Because of the people who are listening at their houses, yeah. Yeah. What is the proof of that? He continued the verse and he said, Yani, you read the scriptures, but you are not searching for me in the scriptures. The scriptures testify me, and you don't read them in this concept. You read them, You read them, but not searching for me in them. If you really want to read the scriptures carefully, you will find me in them, because these scriptures testify me. So this leads us to the way that we read the scriptures. How do we read the Bible? How do we read the Bible? And the same concept. How do you read? Yeah. How do you read? Yeah. How do you read? When the writer asked Jesus, what did what is the best scripture, what is the best verse in the Bible, he said or how do you read? So number one, how do we read? Number one, searching for Jesus in every single verse in the Bible. Searching for him. Do not focus on him. Do not just take the Bible as a book of commandments, a book of values, a book of principles, a book of good stories and history in the Old and the New Testament. Don't look in the Bible or read in the Bible in this concept. You search for Jesus Christ in every verse in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. This is number one. And this also what the Lord himself declared clearly. He said, "And these are they which testify of me, the scriptures." Number two. Which is very important. Number one, search for Jesus Christ in the scriptures. And number two, not only read, but also live, practice, make it the system of your life. Live the Bible. Let the Bible be not verses to you, but system of life, which is very important. That's why the obstacles that prevented the Jews from recognizing our Lord Jesus Christ easily is the following: but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. This is number one. نسميها ايه, what should be called hard, stiff neck. Just kidding. Yeah. In Arabic, we know عليه عندي. عندي يعني disobedience, stubborn. Huh? It's very clear. بيقول لهم. But you are not willing to come to me. You are just proud that you are Jews. You are just proud that you have prophets and prophecies. You are proud that you are called the people of God, the children of Israel, the children of God. One day the Lord said it to them. He said, "You are now saying about yourself that you are the children of Abraham. If you were the children of Abraham, you must have lived as Abraham lived. Imitate him. Do as he did." So one of the very important obstacles that we are stiff-necked people. We are stubborn. We are not obedient, unfortunately. One of the reasons that make us in this way disobedient, that we do not read from here. We read from here. We just fill our minds with knowledge. We just fill our minds with theoretical teachings, but we don't feel them with our hearts. That's why it doesn't make the effect that it's supposed to be to me when I read by mind only, but I don't read by heart. I don't feel what I read. Huh? Mahdi, next ba. Next, hey, فعلاً, Jesus said it. Should be ul eh. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? We receive honor. نقبل مجد بعضنا من بعض. البرايد اللي قالت عليه. يبقى number one, يعني disobedience or resisting the word of God in our hearts. And number two, the pride. The pride makes me criticizer of the Bible and fertilizing the verses of the Bible. Whatever suits me, I accept. Whatever doesn't suit me, I give myself excuses and reasons. And one of the people one day said, the mind is a faithful servant to the desire. I say it again. The mind is a faithful servant to your desire. If you wish something, the mind will fabricate it to you and will give you the excuses. Why not? You are sick, you cannot fast. You are very busy, you don't have enough time to pray. You are too tired 6 days in the week. The only day that you have rest is Sunday. Does it matter to go 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock? Just take the blessing of the church. So the mind fabricates to you the desire. But if you love God from all your heart, then the mind will say to you, don't go to bed before finding place in your heart for God. Don't sleep without praying and taking the blessing and the relax and the honor with God before going to bed, before sleep. This happens, Hannah, left and right. Your mind fabricates to you your desire. Your desire, if it is built on your great love to God, be sure that your desire will be positive and your mind will serve you. Will serve you very much. Your mind will advise you to memorize many verses or many psalms, to use them whenever you are, wherever you are. Right? Number two. Number one, disobedience or resistance. Number two, pride. And number three, lack of love. And he mentioned it here. Lack of love. He said, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. And this is number three, and the last and the most dangerous. Most dangerous is I don't have love of God in me. So if I don't have love of God in me, I will read the scriptures, but no use for me. I will pray, but as a slave, because I am afraid of the punishment of God. I will fast, because they prevent me from taking the Holy Communion if I am not fasting. I will go to the priest to confess whatever I say, some words, so as to satisfy him that I have confessed. So all my actions, all my practicing will build on anything but not love. Lack of love makes X to all my practices. على طول بصراحة كده. If I don't love My prayer is nothing. My fasting has no mean. My giving alms will be such some money to give it. My service also will not having the same concept or the same goal that I do love God. And it's very, very interesting here. Three reasons. Now, most of them, but some of them loved God. Most of the Jews, yeah, took the commandments literally. Although the first commandments was love God with all your heart, all your power, all your strength, might, everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So the first commandment was love, but they neglect the first one and look at the others, practicing them without love. So they lost it. Even the teachers, the preachers, the writers, the scribes, the Pharisees, they lost the love of God. And then their worshiping became nonsense. Had no meaning, had no power. That's why the Lord was patient and patient and patient and patient until Matthew chapter, 23. Until Matthew chapter 23, he said to them, 13, woe to you, 13 times. At almost the end of his service, he must have done that. And he did it, clearly. And the main reason of woe is hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. They knew the scriptures, and they taught the scriptures, preached the scriptures, but without touching any of them, because they lost the true love of God. So please, this is the lesson which we want to conclude with tonight. Please, any practice, any relationship with God must be built on love. Love God. You will find yourself not able to sleep without prayer, not able to live without his blood and body, not able to live without getting rid of your weaknesses in the repentance and confession. All of that out of love to him. Not because I'm awaiting for something from him or afraid from him. No. Revision, number one. Preventions of the benefits of the scripture, number one. Not searching for Jesus. Number two. نسيته ما انت قلتيه انت اللي قلتيها pride and number three lack of love. But number one again, not searching for Jesus in the scripture. Number two, pride, stiff-necked. Number three, lack of love to him. That's why, and you thank God that tonight is the last Saturday before the Great Lent, and we will start the Great Lent next week, inshallah. And on Saturday, we'll start the series of Our Christ Above all time. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let us pray.